From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Tuesday, April 4th, 2017. I'm Philip Grant. Victoria Addison is reporting in the Register Star that the Hudson City School District on Monday, April the 3rd, broke ground for the construction of a new track and athletic field facility behind the junior-senior high school on Harry Howard Avenue. The complex is the first phase of a $19.9 million capital project that includes plans to consolidate the district's two buildings. The athletic facility will include an 8-lane track, steeplechase area, multiple jumping pits, a football and soccer field, plus interior and exterior bleachers, press box, and scoreboard. At the groundbreaking Monday, Superintendent Maria Studdermeyer spoke to the assembled school staff, students, and community members, thanking the community members who voted to approve financing for the project in February. Studdermeyer also acknowledged the Galvin Foundation and Hudson River Bank and Trust for their support of the project. Construction is slated to begin April 17th. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Brian Nearing is reporting in the Times Union that State Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is heading a group of states that are suing the Trump administration for moving to roll back new energy efficiency standards for some appliances. Schneiderman announced on Monday, April the 3rd, a lawsuit against the U.S. Department of Energy for delaying tighter rules for new portable air conditioners, walk-in coolers and freezers, power supply equipment, commercial boilers, air compressors, and ceiling fans. The new rules were expected to cut billions of dollars from energy bills and reduce power plant emissions of the climate-changing greenhouse gases. Similar rules already apply to about 55 different household and commercial devices, including clothes washers and refrigerators and heating and air conditioning equipment. Schneiderman said the Energy Department's decision to put the brakes on the expanded rules was, and I quote, another example of how the Trump administration's polluter-first energy policy has real and harmful impacts on the public health, environment, and pocketbooks of New Yorkers, end quote. The states of California, Maine, Massachusetts, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Vermont, and Washington, as well as New York City, joined New York in the suit. You can read that full story in the New York Times. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a flood watch effective Tuesday, today, April 4th, into Saturday, April 8th, for all of eastern New York and western New England. A storm system is expected to bring 1 to 1.5 inches of rainfall during the day and into the night on Tuesday. Recent rainfall and snow melt have resulted in nearly saturated grounds across the region. Some flooding of urban, poor drainage, and low-lying areas are possible. A second storm system is expected to bring additional rainfall into the area beginning Tuesday into Friday night, increasing the potential for flooding. The National Weather Service advises those living in areas prone to flooding to be prepared to take action should that flooding develop. Matthew Hamilton is reporting at Capitol Confidential that the state Senate on Monday, April the 3rd, approved legislation extending the current state budget through May the 31st. The state assembly followed suit on Monday evening as officials continued to work out the details of a new spending plan. The legislation lasts through May 31st. Senate Majority Leader John Flanagan said during debate on the extender bills that he is not shutting government down. Flanagan said, and I quote, "We got the message. If we don't do this by 2 o'clock, then state employees really can't get paid, whether the assembly does their business or not. But I know we're doing the people's business in the House," end quote. Speaking before the assembly vote, Speaker Carl Hesty said the extender, and I quote, "isn't a punt of our duties. I'm just trying to make sure government isn't shut down," end quote. Both assembly Democrats and Republicans said the length of the extender is troublesome, as in the general legislative inaction in the budget. Legislation approved Monday was necessary to avoid potential disruptions to government operations and payroll. You can read both stories at Capitol Confidential, a Times Union blog. Amelia Teasdale is reporting in the Columbia paper that the Kinder Hook Smart Climate Committee met last week to review proposed changes to the town's zoning laws for solar panels. The town currently has a moratorium on ground-mounted solar panels in place, which includes solar farms, while the town considers how to regulate them. The Climate Committee has now asked the portion of the law that prohibits solar farms in all zoning districts be removed. Committee member Mark Lenung said he was against the ban, especially since there are already laws for setbacks and the Town Zoning Board of Appeals would have to grant a special use permit for that type of facility. The committee also recommended the town drop its 15-acre limit on farms as well. Town Code Enforcement Officer Wayne Voss disagreed, saying allowing solar farms is, and I quote, not a good idea, end quote. Voss argued that land should not go to companies that would not increase the tax base. He said the only people making money on a solar farm are the property owners and utility companies. Voss also expressed a concern that the equipment would eventually be abandoned after it was no longer in use. The Town Codes Committee has already looked at local laws and suggested changes, Supervisor Pat Grattan said. It is unknown at this point when the town will renew the changes. The town board does expect to adopt the state unified solar permit law. You can read that full story in the Columbia paper. Amanda Purcell is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Catskill Mountain Housing Development Corporation has received $400,000 to replace 12 old mobile homes with new energy-efficient manufactured modular or site-built homes. The nonprofit housing agency was one of five in the state to receive the award last week. An applicant to the replacement program must be from Greene County and income qualifying. They must own the unit and the property on which the modular home sits. The unit must also be considered in poor condition. Catskill Housing Development Corporation Executive Director Lawrence Kurjeski said the cost to replace a dilapidated manufactured home with a single wide modular unit is approximately $70,000. Catskill Mountain Housing helps homeowners with needed repairs and counsels first-time home buyers, homeowners, and tenants on how to resolve housing issues. The agency also manages housing in six locations for seniors and the disabled. Catskill Mountain Housing is open for inquiries about the program at 448 Main Street in Catskill. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. The Mid-Hudson News Network is reporting that Orange County District Attorney David Hovler has introduced a smartphone app designed to give the public a direct connection to his office and its resources. The app provides information and resources, and I quote, that could be useful in preventing crime and addiction and to gain information to help fight crime, end quote, according to the paper. Links to written and video news about the DA's office, as well as the Crime Stoppers portal, the DA's camera partnership program, and the county's It's On Us anti-sexual assault campaign, Hovler launched in 2015, are included. The app is available for both iPhone and Android users. The story failed to say what it cost to develop the app or how it was paid for. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. And now for the weather. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a flood watch effective today, Tuesday, April the 4th, into Saturday, April the 8th, for all of eastern New York and western New England. A storm system is expected to bring 1 to 1.5 inches of rainfall during the day and into the night, Tuesday. Recent rainfall and snow melt have resulted in nearly saturated grounds across the region. A second storm system is expected to bring additional rainfall to the area beginning Thursday into Friday night, increasing the potential for flooding. As for today, the National Weather Service is predicting rain with thunderstorms also possible after 2 p.m., a temperature high near 51 degrees. Tuesday night, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It will be cloudy with a low around 43. The forecast for the next 2 days, well, on Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 58 degrees. Wednesday night, a chance of rain after 2 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a low around 40 degrees. And on Thursday, rain with thunderstorms are possible after 2 p.m. with a temperature high near 47 degrees. Thursday night, rain mainly before 2 a.m. with a temperature low of 41. Sunrise today was at 6:30 a.m. and the sun will set at 7:25 p.m. That will give us 12 hours and 54 minutes of daylight. 2 minutes more than yesterday. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Tuesday, the 4th day of April 2017. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.